This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of geekdad.com on the Wired Blog Network. This is episode 112, Eating Santa Claus's Brains. Hello again, everyone. You found it. We are back. This is The Geek Dads, episode number 112. I am Ken Denmead, publisher and editor of geekdad.com. And I have a little frog in my throat right now. I'm sorry about that. But welcome, everyone. We've been gone for a little while, just through states of busyness and other such things. We had to skip last time. But we are back, and I am joined, of course, wonderfully with two out of my three editors. I don't know what the heck is up with that Z guy. He's never around. But, Matt, how are you doing this week?
Tired. Run a little ragged, but for good reason. So I can't.
Yeah, no rest for the wicked.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're going to hear a little bit more about what you're going to be doing soon, too. You're getting all the good gigs right now, man.
Yes. I wish they didn't all come right on top of each other, but yes, I can't complain too much.
Yeah, this stuff you just can't pass up. Mr. Jonathan Liu, how are you doing, Jonathan?
I am good. Good. We had a good Easter full of church and chocolate and Marian call. So it's a good combo.
It sounds fulfilling both creatively, edibly, and spiritually.
Yes.
So who can I say? We went out to a brunch at a winery, so we were happy to.
All right. Awesome.
It's California. You have to have brunch at a winery, I guess.
That's, well, yeah. We went to a friend's house. They actually had a big potluck. Apparently, this is the second year they've done this, but they actually had roasted an entire lamb on a spit.
Wow.
It was good. But, you need a big kitchen to cut up a lamb.
Yeah, and you need a big pit.
Yeah.
That too.
But holy cow.
That's poor lamb.
Poor lamb.
Poor lamb. Well, you know. Just try not to think about where our food comes from, okay? So, I don't know. It's been 4 weeks. What's the big news we have to share with folks? It's been very busy. The blog is continuing to boggle my mind and blow me away. For those of you who have been listening to us for quite a while, you've joined us on this journey of going from a bunch of geeky morons who didn't really know what they were doing to actually running a rather significant parenting blog here. We're at a place right now where for the last, five out of the last 6 months, we've broken the 2 million page views a month barrier, which is just knocking my socks off. I mean, it's an amazing time on Geek Dad right now. The community is coming up. I don't know. Have we talked much about the community yet?
I think we briefly mentioned it, but not too much.
Yeah.
Because it was about to start when in the one before the last one, episode 110, and then we discussed it a little more last time, but not much.
Okay, yeah. So, Benjamin mentioned that we did announce it in the last podcast. Well, it's now a few weeks old and going strong. We've got nearly 1,400 members to the Geek Dad community. If you haven't checked it out yet, we really encourage you to do so because it's a ton of fun. It's at geekdad.hotwired.com. And basically what we're doing with this is what we should have done years ago, and that is built a massive forums for people to sort of share their ideas and thoughts with each other. We've built a member blogging area, so anyone who wants to can put up their own blog stuff talking about what they're doing with their kids and what their geeky interests are and point us to really cool things. And our intent is that some of that user generated content couldn't eventually make its way onto the Geek Dad blog. We have a wonderful project area where everybody who's doing cool geeky projects with their kids can share them with everybody else. Or if you've got an idea, you know, start a project, invite people to join you, and see if you guys can work out all the details together. And hopefully with all of this stuff, we're going to, you know, create something even bigger and better. I love that our contributor, Kevin McKeese, has just successfully got a fantasy baseball league started up. And I think that's the perfect thing for the Geek Dad community. And I'm hoping maybe we'll generate, you know, even some more of those, or at least have something going through every conceivable sports season, because I think, you know,
I'm just afraid that it being, you know, Geek Dad, some people might, you know, assume that since it's fantasy baseball, it might involve orcs and, you know, clerics. And,
and I, you know what? If somebody wanted to put that together.
I don't know. I prefer sci-fi baseball myself.
I think all of that would be just fun. That would, so. Yes. Absolutely. I mean, we've got forum discussions going on right now about, you know, favorite science fiction and fantasy to introduce to your kids, and debates about almost anything you can think of. So, you know, everybody who listens to this podcast, hopefully you will go check it out, join up, and start adding to the energy there, because I think it's going to be really neat.
And put in an avatar image, because everyone looks the same.
Yeah, come on, people, be creative. come up with an avatar.
Put something in there.
So what else? Jonathan, played any good games lately?
Well, 2 weeks ago, 2 weekends ago, I went to GameStorm, which is a local game convention in Vancouver, just across the river. And it was really good. It was, you know, I hadn't been to an actual board gaming convention before. And this is a you know, fairly small one. I mean, it's, I think, 1,200 to 1,400 people. So, you know, you compare to the, you know, thousands and thousands at PAX, you know, very, very small. But it was focused on board gaming and tabletop gaming, with, you know, some video games and land gaming relegated to a small room off to the side. It was good. It was, you know, from Thursday 2 p.m. until Sunday 7 p.m. There was one room that was 24-hour gaming. You did not have to ever leave if you didn't want to. Although I did go home and sleep.
Well, hopefully people were leaving to use the restroom. But
right. I mean, they kept things going. It was something where I knew beforehand they had a schedule of like, yeah, you want to play Small World? Here, you sign up here. You want to play, you know, Agricola? Here's your table. And then you could sign up. And what happened was, you know, that person, whoever was leading the game, reserved a table. And you showed up. They started the game at, you know, 2 p.m. There you go. Who signed up? We take the first however many, you know, are available slots. And if some people don't show up, then you can, you know, maybe pick up a game. And then you have until that table, you know, so if long games, they tried to reserve it for longer, but they might go, all right, your table is reserved from 2 to 3. At 3 p.m., you got to pack up because somebody else is there to play a game. Or, you know, I mean, most people did a pretty good job of saying, well, if it's a, you know, hour and a half game, I reserve it for 2 hours.
Right.
You have a little downtime. But I didn't realize that was how it was run. And so when I was looking at the schedule, I never said, well, do I want to play this game? Because will I be done with it by the time for this panel? I was like, yes, you will be done with it by the time for that panel because, you know, someone else is using that table. So I think, you know, next year I do plan on going again, but I will probably, you know, try to actually sign up for games I want to play and go, yeah, you know, let me see what happens here. The other piece of the convention, though, was that there's a game lab, and these folks, there's like James Ernest from Cheap Ass Games. And, you know, he's one like Kill Dr. Lucky and Save Dr. Lucky and various other things. A couple people from Steve Jackson, the Munchkin Czar.
Right.
And, you know, various other game designers were actually there, and you could go, if you had a game prototype or game idea, you could sign up for an appointment, meet with these guys and say, here, let me tell you about my idea. And they would help you with, you know, your game concept, your rules, your mechanics, your pitch. You know, like, how are you going to pitch this game? What, you know, what do you want help with? And you could sit down and really get some very good targeted advice towards developing a game. And then they had lots of tables set aside the whole weekend where you could sign up for a table and play test your games. And people would just come out there and go, all right, I'll sit down, I'll play your game, I'll give you feedback. And they had prizes as incentives for people to come and play, you know, unfinished games, right? So it's like, okay, come here, play a game, you might win, you know, something from our board game library. And so it was very cool. And so I actually had, you know, I've got an idea that friend Eric Wex and I have been kicking around for years and kind of put on hold when I moved to Kansas. And we said, well, let's get it out and bring it this weekend. And we went from having a, you know, oh, this is an okay game and it needs a whole lot of work and we don't know what to do with it, to, oh, here's all these changes we could make that really made the game, you know, fun. And so we, on Sunday, we actually got to play several times. And, you know, it's not done yet. We're still working on it. But we've been re-inspired to finish this game and, you know, do something with it.
And when do we launch the Kickstarter?
Yeah, it's going to be a little while. It's going to be a little while. But I mean, you know, that's the idea. Is, you know, we haven't decided yet if we want to try to actually, you know, send it to a established publisher or do a Kickstarter ourselves or you know, find someone to partner with to do a Kickstarter. Because I don't know that either of us wants to become board game publishers at this point.
Well, you know, through this bizarre experience that has been Geek Dad, we've got a lot of good connections at game companies now, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who is it? Mostly the marketing connection to Kickstarter, too.
Yeah, we got good connections to Kickstarter, too. So whichever direction we want to go. It was the funniest thing. I was chatting with either the guy from Pajaggle or Ray from Calliope the other day, and they were joking about Steve Jackson Games. But oh yeah, but basically that the situation is because they do Munchkin, they basically print their own money.
Yeah.
His joke is, oh, they need some more cash. They just put out a new Munchkin set.
Right.
There's some reality to that.
I think there is some very strong reality to that.
It's not just Munchkin, though. There's zombie dice.
It's true. Now there's zombie dice, and that's going to become a...
Well, it's not just zombie dice. Yeah, there's... Because they have... I mean, of course, it started with Cthulhu dice.
Right.
Yeah, zombie dice. The expansions were designed for zombie dice, which sold out in about 6 hours at PAX.
Yeah.
I believe. I managed to snag one before they vanished. But then they have Trophy Buck, which actually has some advantages over zombie dice, and that is easier to catch up because it has points instead of just strike. You know, like each brain is worth one, but you know you can have like an 8 or a 4 or a 2.
Right. Yeah.
But and now they're actually coming out with Dino Hunt dice, which is essentially the same as zombie dice with a very small modification. But the idea is that it's more family friendly. That is, it doesn't involve eating brains and shooting. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that
zombies are totally family friendly.
Well, I mean, they were getting some pushback from some, you know, some places that just didn't feel comfortable advocating things with shotguns and zombies.
Well, I mean, you think the dynamic, the game dynamic of zombie dice is, you know, almost just like, I don't know, it's like, what am I trying to think of? You know, just generic dice games that even don't have themes to them. It's a very simple concept.
Yeah.
Of course, then if you add in the supplement, you could actually eat Santa Claus's brain. So, you know, that might be somewhat troubling to kids.
Well, maybe you're not eating Santa Claus. Maybe Santa Claus just left the brain as a present.
Right.
He can actually bring you two brains.
Yeah.
That's an option. He can also bring you a football helmet or a can of energy drink.
Yeah.
I like the can of energy drink. The energy drink, it means once you've got that, it converts any green feet that you get. You know, if feet on the green, it converts those into brains because you can run faster.
Mm, good.
Yeah, turns you into a 28 days zombie.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Oh man, my family is on spring break right now, and last night they watched Zombieland.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh. I mean, I had seen it a little while back. Wholeheartedly recommended. It is such a fun movie. It is so funny. Not necessarily for younger kids, because there's language in there, and there's, right. And they're fast zombies. They're not slow zombies.
Uh-huh.
But it's really good. Oh, excellent.
Q Monster Dad's
in. Just checked the show for the first time and hearing he's eating Santa Claus braids.
I think we know what our title is going to be.
There we go. I need to write that down. Eating Santa Claus's brains. and I will remind everybody who's in the chat room, obviously we like to try and title the episode after something funny that is said during the episode. We can't keep track of everything, but if you hear anything that you think is hilarious, write it down, and we will pull the chat room for show titles at the end of the podcast. So, speaking of, I'm hoping that we're going to get some Zombie Dice expansions and other stuff for Maker Faire, which is now starting to ramp up planning, which is getting exciting and busy, of course. But for the folks that are listening. Was that third weekend in May? We do a booth at Maker Faire. We've done it for the last 5 years. We'll do it again, gosh darn it, until, you know, they don't let us in anymore. But if you do not know what that is, go to MakerFaire, FAIRE.com, and take a look. It is the DIY super festival put on by the folks from Make Magazine and O'Reilly Publishing. And it has everything to do with creation and doing stuff yourself and building and hacking, and it's just the most amazing experience and thing to go see. And Geek Dad has always done a booth where we put out a whole bunch of Legos and a whole bunch of electronics to play with, and it just a ton of fun. We should have Mr. John Kovalik of Munchkin fame at the booth again this year, and a few new things going on, so hopefully everybody is welcome to come down. It's in San Mateo, California. Hopefully, if you're local, you can make it. If you're not, you know what? Get yourself out here, because it is an amazing experience. And Matt, I know you're trying to make it, right?
I am, very much.
Yes. Excellent, excellent.
Yeah. I will not be able to make it this year.
Gosh darn it. I don't know how we're going to run the gaming table like that.
Someone's going to have to learn some rules.
That'll be the challenge. But hopefully I've had enough lessons learned over the last couple of years that things will be a little more streamlined this year. There will be no helium involved. I'm probably not going to repeat the Diet Coke and
Mentos
geyser again. Although it worked.
It did work. Very impressive. That was impressive.
Just to keep things simple, probably.
It's a little messy and it's a lot of setup.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that will be awesome. So Matt, the king of the junkets.
What did you do last weekend?
So first of all, not a junket related. What did you do last weekend that you can report on that was awesome too?
Well, this past weekend I went up to Boston for PAX East, which despite being on on Easter weekend and Good Friday and slash the first night of Passover, was hugely attended. As usual, there are tons of extremely expensive video game related booths, things from like an Aliens related video game, which looked honestly kind of just okay, but to the next Assassin's Creed game, and which was
the American Revolution one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wasn't prepared to stand in line for 3 hours, so I didn't get to actually play that. But it looked cool from the other side, I could see. And a couple other things that looks like they could go either way. But, excuse me. As usual, I had more fun with the tabletop gaming stuff. Spent a lot of time at the Steve Jackson booth playing some of their new stuff. They have a new thing coming out unrelated to Munchkin or Zombie Dice, in fact, called Castellan, which is it's kind of a combination of like a building game where you like create a structure and cards and you know the dots and squares game that you play. Mm-hmm. You play with dots where you draw drawings. It's kind of similar to that. There's you have a pile of pieces. It's a two-handed game, and you each have a set of cards that you draw from, and each card gives you a set of pieces that you can use on that turn. Mm-hmm. So you can play them on, you can play as many cards as you've got on any turn, and then you have to use all those pieces, and you try to section off pieces. You completely surround an area, and if you do that, then you get control of that area, and you get points at the end of the game based on how many towers are touching that area. So it's got some clever little mechanics, because you can also, sometimes it's to your benefit to actually split your areas, because you get to count certain towers twice. And yeah, it's a very clever little game, and definitely worth looking into. They did actually have somebody wearing a shirt. I was kind of surprised for Munchkin Apocalypse, which I know, according to John Cavell, he just finished. But
he's been well nigh incommunicado while he finished that.
Yes, I have. I got a chance to play just a bunch of games that I had already played, but that were just a lot of fun to play again. Played a lot of Monty Python Flux, which is just of all the Flux games, it's by far the most fun in my opinion. You get to sing Monty Python songs and talk in outrageous accents and such. And if you can't have fun doing that, then
who could ask for anything more?
Exactly.
All they need now is a Princess Bride Flux. I don't think they have one yet.
No, they don't.
That would be a good one too.
It would. Yes, that's a good idea.
It's inconceivable. Sorry. You set that one up. I had
to.
I couldn't avoid it.
And I talked to a lot of people. We had a great panel Saturday night, 7 o'clock. I was a little afraid it wasn't going to be well attended, because it was 7 o'clock at night, and a lot of parents, obviously, was a parent about geek parenting, but it totally did not happen. It was packed.
Nice.
Lots of people who have kids, some of whom brought their kids there, quite a few women who were obviously about to become parents.
was there danger in the room? Before we begin the panel, everybody note where the exits are, and anyone with medical training, please let us know. We'll have hot water boiled in the corner just in case.
Maybe some of them were close to that anyway. And some people who weren't parents yet, but were kind of gathering intel.
Infiltrators, yes, we understand.
We had a lot of good discussion. We talked about some games that we liked. We talked, we actually had some good discussion about, because I wanted to stir up some controversy, talked about the machete order for the Star Wars movies.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And how best to introduce them to your children, and the whys and wherefores, and whether you should bother with the original trilogy at all. The prequel trilogy at all. Mm-hmm. Or stick just to the original trilogy. We talked about the problems if your daughter likes Twilight better than Buffy,
What are the appropriate punishments? Yes.
but serious talks about how you how do you introduce kids to the world of geekdom without pushing it too hard, and especially for girls, because things like The Hobbit, for instance, it's a fantastic book. It has no female characters to speak of. So it's not going to appeal necessarily to girls right away with good reason. So we had some good talk about that. It was nice that we had the balance. We had three geek dads and three geek moms on the panel. Obviously we had Karina, who of course writes for both, but it was really good. We had some really good discussion. Have a good time was had by all. I mean, we had some really interesting questions. people, you know, asking for advice on games to play and books to read. And
you know,
what's your, did you get an hour for the panel or did you get an hour and a half?
Just an hour, unfortunately.
An hour?
Just an hour, yeah. We had to cut off the questions, unfortunately, but yeah. But what is cool is it was live streamed, and which Curtis took advantage of to say hi to his kids. and I know my kids actually watched briefly too, but it is actually archived, although they didn't archive it in the most convenient way possible. But I'm gonna get a post ready tonight to go out on Wednesday, and which will have an embed for it. So people can watch the panel if they so desire. And I also had had the opportunity on Sunday of participating in a panel. The Kickstarter people, the Kickstarter games people particularly, have wanted, just because we've done so much stuff on Geek Did About It, had asked me to have somebody there. And it probably would have been better if somebody like, you know, Mike Harrison, who often comes to PAX, had been able to come because he does more of the gaming stuff than I do. But, he had a pretty good reason for not coming. So, because he's about to, you know, have a second child. And all.
Yeah.
But, it was good. It was, I was the only one on the panel other than the Kickstarter person who didn't actually have a Kickstarter project. They were all the past projects that had gotten from Kickstarter.
Didn't have one to hawk. Yeah.
But it was interesting because actually some people asked, how do you pick projects to curate on your page? And I discussed, basically how we do that. Yeah. Not going into too much detail.
Can we talk about just for a second the one that I'm most excited about right now, which is the Shadowrun game?
Sure.
Which is just blowing. I mean, for folks that haven't been following this, first of all, out of the three of us, am I the only one who actually played Shadowrun back in the day, or Matt, did you ever play it? Or
I played a bit. I definitely did. I did play a bit of it. I didn't play a lot, but I did play it. Now and then.
Oh, hey, Carrie's in the chat room. Hi, Carrie. You missed us talking about Maker Faire already. For those who are interested in coming to Maker Faire, Carrie helps run the Model Naval Warfare, which is scale model ships in a giant pool, and they actually shoot things at each other and try to sink each other, and it's an awesome thing at Maker Faire. So you got to come in and see that. But so the Shadowrun thing, which is just another one of these Kickstarters that is just exploding in such a wonderful way. So Shadowrun, for those who don't know, originally started as a pen and paper role-playing game back in early 90s, I think, late 80s, early 90s, so probably 90s, I think. Yeah, the basic idea, and timeliness is everything, the basic idea at that point was that it, when the Mayan calendar ran out in 2012, the Earth had a great upheaval, and magic and magical creatures came back, or people actually morphed into, certain people were actually just sort of like hibernating magical creatures and became orcs and elves and dwarves and all sorts. And magic comes back, so there is sorcery, but this all sort of coexists with an advanced kind of cyberpunk future. So you have, magicians who are also technologists, and you have hackers, and you have people running drones to do things. And it was a really well done, well imagined game setting. And I know I had a ton of fun with it back in the day. And it got turned into a couple of different video games over the years. Something on the Sega, and then later on a very poorly received first person shooter on the Xbox. What has recently happened was what the guy who helped create the game back in the day has realized, 20 years later, has licensed his own original creation because it's been sold off something like a half a dozen times through different entities. he licensed the rights to create a new video game of his original game. And, you know, he's now much further along in his career, and he has the means with which to set up a small game studio. And he went out on Kickstarter, basically soliciting with the idea of creating just a really cool turn-based 2D sort of strategy RPG Shadowrun game, which just sounds totally fun. They were going to ask for $400,000 to sort of build this thing out. And if you, you know, did one of the lower amounts, you would get a copy of the game, and it would only be PC. But it would be really, really true to the original Shadowrun, because it's the people that created it putting this together.
That thing had almost twice that much now.
Yeah, they sold through in like less than 2 days and are now at about double their goal in like 4 or 5 days. They've raised their projection now, saying if we can make it to a million, they're going to do twice as much, you know, game space and multiple languages. They'll do a Mac client as well. They'll kick the music up about 3 or 4 notches and just really go whole hog on it. But
they should have no problem hitting that.
I don't. Yeah, they've still got 20-something days left to collect the last $200,000, which, at the pace they've been going.
Yeah, they're at just under 800,000 with 18 days left, actually. But yeah, that should be no problem.
Yeah. So, I am supporting this. I cannot wait to play this game when it comes out. I'm it's ringing all the right bells for me. You know, nostalgia, RPG stuff, science fiction, magic, and a great little great little story about how it's going to get put together.
Speaking of Kickstarter games, actually, the one that's at the top of our list now, because it ends in just over a day, is Mobile Frame Zero Rapid Attack.
Mm-hmm.
I forget to mention, they actually had that out to test at PAX also. Okay. I only got to play it for a very short time because it was extremely popular. But it was a lot of fun. Just, you know, blowing things up and, you know, picking pieces of Lego off of robots to as they took damage. It's a very clever game. I'm not sure I'm necessarily going to want to have it in my house because, you know, I have cats, and I can just see, because you couldn't leave it, you know, because if you left it for, you know, for like just like 5 minutes, it could be completely messed up and you'd never be able to recover. But it is a very cool concept.
That looks like a lot of fun. Yeah. You know, I have to say, on a complete tangent, while Matt, you were talking about the panel, you know, sometimes they do, you get feedback on the PAX forums.
Yeah.
And I just quickly tried to Google geek parenting panel and didn't find anything on that. But the first thing that I actually got from Autofill was Geek Parenting Blog. The top result for Geek Parenting Blog on Google is actually Geek Mom.
Interesting.
So that's kind of cool. I like that. I mean, you know, pretty awesome.
That is very cool.
Yeah,
I've been looking through the forums in the past day or two, and I haven't seen anything really come through. And I saw people saying that they planned to go to it, or that it was their favorite thing at the past one, which is cool to see, or that they really wish they'd been able to get into but couldn't last time. And I haven't seen any reviews. Although apparently there was a chat room attached to the live stream, which apparently some of the geek moms were watching it, and they pasted some stuff out of the chats and sent it to the to Corinna and Nicole and Rachel, who are the geek moms, were on the panel, and some of them were, shall we say, less than flattering about some of the questioners. But you know, it's a chat room, so you know, you never know what you're going to get. But I didn't actually get a chance to see that, which is probably just as well. But apparently, people were making a great deal of fun of people making questions. You know, most of the questions were actually pretty good.
That's cool. That's cool. All right, I'm not even going to go down that rat hole, but yeah. All right, so what else? I know you have a little, you know, you can make us all feel envious about where you're going this week.
Yes, tomorrow I'm going off to Los Angeles to for the Avengers press junket. So I get to see the Avengers tomorrow night. And
your spoiler-filled review will go up in the morning. Oh.
No, currently embargo on reviews until May 2nd.
Oh.
But I can write about the junket itself. I just can't write a review.
Right.
And on Thursday, there's going to be a press conference with everybody in the cast and producers and, of course, Joss Whedon. And then I'm going to get one-on-one interviews with a couple of people. I'm not 100% sure who yet, but it's looking good for probably Joss Whedon. Which
awesome.
I will have to steel myself to not go completely fanboy on it. We'll see how that works out. Yeah, and I figure if I talk to Jeremy Renner, I just have to not mention. So have you seen our post?
Or just
see what would be really sad Jim. Is if you walk in and he sits down and he's holding his bow. So you're from Geek Dad, are you?
Yeah, well, you have nothing to worry about. He wouldn't be able to hit you anyway.
Yeah, just start dancing around, neener, neener, neener. But we never did have Jim McCrory critique Thor on his hammer throwing.
Well, but Jim isn't a hammer expert.
That's
so,
right, exactly. You
know, we got to get someone else to do that.
Actually, I know some people who are experts in hammer throwing, but people in the SCA, Society for Creative Anachronism, so that they do that stuff all the time.
All right.
Mostly axes, I guess, not hammers. But I'm sure they could work for hammers.
Right.
I love the fact it's really convenient timing for Joss too that both Cabin in the Woods and Avengers are coming out so close to each other right now.
That's true.
And Cabin in the Woods has Chris Hemsworth in it.
It does.
But the bizarre story behind that is it was actually filmed like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then because of businessy stuff, sort of just got held up. Coming out, and now it's very, very timely and probably in a whole lot better position to do very well.
Yeah.
So that, between that and Avengers, if those two movies can make the studios a few $100 million and that secures all future Joss Whedon enterprises so that there will be more Whedon in the future.
And then he'll go put a TV show on Fox and they'll cancel it after a season.
Right. That's how you keep him humble.
I just wanted to make the Dr. Horrible sequel. That's
right. And when is the Shakespeare thing coming out?
I don't think it's clear when it's coming out yet. I don't think they've announced a release date.
I totally want to see that too.
Oh, absolutely. Amy Acker as Beatrice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Yes. And Nathan Fillion is Dogberry. That's
Has anyone seen it? I want to say, supposedly the Comic-Con documentary is supposed to be out on like pay-per-view, right?
I believe it is. Yeah, Morgan
Spurlock. Is that the
new Spurlock? Yeah, the new Spurlock thing. That's just sort of a because Whedon was involved in that, and
the book was pretty good.
Yeah, apparently he was. They did that here in Portland. They had a showing of it, I think, with Morgan Spurlock on Saturday. But I had weekend was booked up with other things, and I wasn't able to go. I only found out about it on, I think, Thursday. I was like, oh, well, too late for that.
Ah, darn it.
But,
Nerf.
Yeah.
I totally want to get a chance to watch that, too. Because
I was just looking at the press release for Much Ado, and it doesn't say anything about the release date. But man, that some of the rest of the cast is pretty good too. Yeah, Sean Mayer is playing Don John.
in case people don't know about that, it was when did that little thing pop up? It's been like October.
October. Yeah.
Yeah, out of nowhere, this website goes up about what was it, Much Ado, right?
Yep, Much Ado.
A movie.com. A Joss Whedon directed version of Much Ado About Nothing. And nobody knows when they did it. The cast seems amazing, and you know, it seems like it's probably another one of Joss's little guerrilla weekend projects.
Yeah, well, it says filmed in just 12 days, entirely on location in exotic Santa Monica.
Yeah. you just know it's going to be awesome. So.
Oh, well, of course it is. I mean,
totally raring for that too. It's we are in the age of Whedon right now, the golden age of Whedon.
Well, I am very, very much hoping that I don't have to report that the movie sucks. Because if it tanks, which I it would have to be really bad to really tank.
Right.
Nobody's going to make it, let him direct a major motion picture again, like right. for a major studio. Right. Because after Serenity just did not, you know, I mean, the fans love it, but it did not do great box office. So.
Right.
Yeah. So I definitely hope that does not happen.
So you hear that, Joss? Don't screw it up. All right, man.
Might possibly be too late to do anything about
probably.
It.
Probably, yeah. Well, guys, you want to do some posts of the week? And John.
I was going to say in board games, because that was, it was what, last week or 2 weeks ago? Will Wheaton's Tabletop show.
So much fun.
Have you seen that? Have you watched the, you know, I thought it was, it's interesting. Because, you know, he's doing a show about
playing board games.
For playing board games. For those of you you aren't familiar, it's on Felicia Day's YouTube channel, Geek and Sundry.
For the record, and I have witnesses who will swear testimony that I actually had this idea. Actually, my idea was Will should do Celebrity D&D as a show.
Right. Right.
And that people would love to watch that. And it was after having sat through one of the Acquisitions Incorporated sessions at PAX. And
right, right.
Totally had that idea. And now, you know, he's gone and done it, and it's awesome. So I am totally thrilled about this.
So, I love the production quality is great with the way that they really do the little animations and things to, you know, explain the game. What I wasn't sure of was, you know, if you hadn't played Small World and you need the explanation, would you be as interested in watching the show? Or if you have, like, because, you know, being someone who has played Small World, I didn't need as much explanation. I just wanted to get, you know, sort of go on, play the game, right?
I have never played Small World, and I feel like I got a reasonably good grasp of how the game would flow. I'm sure there's technicalities that I didn't get, but I sort of got the cycle of, you know, move, encounter, collect points, and, you know, every race has a special little thing to it, and then you can put them into decline, but you'll still get stuff out of them and all that stuff. Yeah.
What they didn't focus on enough, I thought, was that the races have their own specific things, and then there's the powers which are combined with the races, but those aren't always combined in the same way.
But. Right. Although, you do get, like, every time they showed the race and the power, they would kind of highlight, here's the power, here's what the power does, here's what the race does.
Right.
But not show that they were actually not associated with each other directly.
Right.
Necessarily. Just they're picked randomly.
Right. They're randomly paired, so you can get all kinds of funny different combinations. Right.
Right. Yeah. The next game, they might be completely different.
Timmy mentions in the chat room, he says, are people turning in more for the games or for the Will Wheaton factor? And it's Will with one L, by the way. You know, I would say it's probably more for the Will Wheaton factor to an extent. But first of all, there's plenty of just general game fans out there. And I'm excited to learn about the games that I don't know about. And, you know, of course, I could always ask Jonathan for recommendations, but he'd probably get sick of that after a while. So
I will talk about board games nonstop anytime you want.
it's like watching Celebrity Poker, but everybody gets to have fun.
Right.
It's true.
Rather than being all taciturn and, you know, or you know, there's smack talking, but there can be some really right. smack talking in this, which can be just hilarious.
Right. And I think what'd be interesting is depending on the celebrities, you're going to bring in their fans too, right? Like the people who, you know, oh, I watch Mythbusters and I don't know anything about, you know, board gaming, or I, you know, Will Wheaton, I'll go watch this one because Grant Hamahara is over here, you know?
Right.
Oh, okay. Like, I think that's kind of one of the potential draws to it is drawing in, mm-hmm. you know, fans of those celebrities.
That could be. I was going to say that just to speak to, you know, whether people who don't know the games would generally like it, and also whether people are just watching it for the celebrities. When I was at PAX, one of the first things I noticed when I got there Saturday morning was whenever I went to one of the various game tables that somebody was almost always buying Small World. Like,
somebody
was picking up a copy and buying it. And by the end of the day on Saturday, I did not see a single copy left anywhere of Small World or Small World Underground.
Right.
Not a single copy left. And there's only one reason why that was happening, I'm sure. Yeah, because you don't see that happening to any other game that's been out for, you know, for a while. You know, it's not, right. it was not like it was brand new and everybody wanted it because it was brand
new. Right,
They wanted it because they had seen it there.
Yeah.
So how do we wrangle a Geek Dad episode of Tabletop?
You know what? We will do everything possibly we can. You know, I'm actually torn. Well, a little bit torn. So there's Tabletop. Totally want to play Tabletop. Whatever game, that would be totally fun. And now, Chris Hardwick's Celebrity Bowling.
Oh. I would be really bad at that.
I want to field a Geek Dad squad for Chris Hardwick's Celebrity Bowling.
Yeah, I suck at bowling, but I like it. I enjoy it. I just suck. The problem is I don't get to play it very often because it's very hard to find any place that has shoes that actually will fit me.
Mm.
I have very much feet, so. Yeah.
Just gotta get your own.
Yeah, right. Again, did you miss the part where I said that I sucked?
Right.
Well, you have to play to get better, don't you?
True.
Something about practice. And, you know, wasting money on equipment.
Yeah. I told my wife, I said, I want to, you know, have a TV show where I have celebrities over and play board games. And she said, yeah, but see, the difference is that, you know, people will go watch Will Wheaton play board games. They're going to watch you.
And I really have to say, too, I mean, you know, I've played in, you know, so many D&D and other RPG campaigns where, you know, if you had filmed any given session, it would have been so hilarious to watch. And things like that, you know, if you've got the right group of people, it can be really fun to watch. But the production values on Game Table are simply amazing. Whoever is doing their editing and production, they really know how to tighten the whole thing up.
Oh, yeah. 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 Because you're taking a, you know, probably hour long game.
Right.
You know, you're putting an intro and outro and the little, you know, interviews in between. And you know, and getting that down to a half an hour.
Yeah.
I think is, you know, that takes that.
And making it fun and interesting and the custom graphics work they have to be doing for all the little pieces and showing.
Right.
I wonder how the budget works and how it you know, what the ROI is there, but it's just like it just seems really, really well done. So I hope it lasts.
Yes, indeed.
So
Felicia Day was at PAX promoting Geekin's Under. I last did not get a chance to see her, but
too bad.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we probably ought to wrap this one up. Any besides your little jaunt to the Mecca of Sin this week, anything else we got to plug in the next couple of weeks? Jonathan?
Well, I will have a post hopefully up tomorrow about the concert I went to on Sunday night, which was Marion Call and the Double Quicks and nice. PDXER. And so Marion Call is doing sort of a Pacific Northwest tour right now. She'll be in Seattle and she'll be up in Vancouver, BC. And so I think if you're in that area, highly recommend catching one of those shows. And then the Double Quicks are doing a show in Boston and one in Las Vegas. You know, they're local to Portland, so they don't, they're mostly Portland shows, but they're doing a couple, and so that's pretty cool. Oh yeah, and Timio was saying I should plug my game, but we're not there yet.
A little more development.
We talked about it a little bit, but yeah, no. Eric and I actually did some playtesting today, and you know we'll get there eventually. Excellent. You'll hear about it.
He's enthusiastic.
Yeah, Matt, you got anything?
No, not really. I mean, I'm working on I got a backlog of reviews. I gotta pump out at some point, but I've just been too busy. So okay. Hopefully, I will be able to catch up this weekend.
Carrie's mentioning the internet viral rage right now. Kane's Arcade. We will actually have. Wednesday morning when this podcast goes up, we're actually doing our post about Kane's Arcade. But if you haven't seen it yet, go check out CAINESARCADE.com. It is a heartwarming story about the chance encounter of a documentary filmmaker and a kid with a lot of imagination that's really, really, really very cool. So... And we'll have a post on it tomorrow on Wednesday. And I know I saw Carrie putting up some tweets earlier, seeing whether or not, and actually the filmmaker saying he'd be interested if they could bring Kane up to Maker Faire. I think that would be totally awesome because he's definitely caught everybody's imagination right now. That would be neat. Otherwise, in the next few weeks, weekend after next, I will be down in Anaheim for the Vex World Robotics Championships at the Anaheim Convention Center. If you are at all into robotics, you might want to go check that out because there will be, I think, teams of students from all over the place doing battle with each other in various tasks and with really, really cool homemade robots. And weekend after that, the USA Science and Engineering Festival in Washington, D.C., which ought to be simply mind-boggling in its breadth and everything, and I get to actually go give a little talk there, which I haven't written yet, so I need to figure that out. But that should be kind of cool. Carrie is asking about going to RCX in Long Beach at the end of the month. What is RCX?
Remote control, radio control, even.
An RC show. I had not heard about that. You know what, Carrie? You should go join the Geek Dad community site and make a blog post about it, and we could feature it.
We could add an event for it.
We can even add an event for it. How about that?
Event calendar. Yeah.
And we bring it full circle. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to thank everybody who showed up. Haley and Timio and Benjamin in the chat room and Carrie, of course. Thanks so much for stopping by. And I want to thank everybody who's listening to us. Once again, please stop by the Geek Dad community and make yourself known. We should probably start we have a HipTracks request booth, but request forum discussion. But maybe we should start something up for the Geek Dads podcast too. I don't know. Otherwise, I'm just going to say thank you, Matt.
You're very welcome, sir. And thank you again, as always, for hosting.
Excellent to chat. Jonathan, thank you so much, as always, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
And everybody else, thank you so much. We will be back in 2 weeks. Next week, we will have a little old hip tracks. And until then, thanks for listening. We will see you next time. So long.
So long, everybody.
Bye. Geek Dad.